Going to have our Bible reading now, which is Acts chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 26. It's on page 1101. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns, until he reached Caesarea. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? So I'm looking forward to what Emil has to say about it. So I'll pray for Emil and hand you over. Father God, we thank you for your servant, for all that you are to him, for all that you have done in his life, for the communion that he has had with you over the years. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring those things together by your Spirit. Take him, take his preparation, and help him to explain your word to us. And help us to hear, Lord God, and to obey. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. Seeing I don't have your height, I'm going to stand over there. Good morning. I hope you can see the screen. Are we on? Yes. Good. Okay, my name is Emil Shehadi. I originally was born in Israel, lived there for the first 18 years, then came to live with a vicar and his wife in London, eventually became a GP. My wife and I retired 2 years ago, so we're semi-retired, I should say. And I'm really enjoying serving God. Those of you who are in medicine, nursing, doctors, you'll have heard how wonderful it is to serve God in medicine. I have to say I've always found it restricting because we're not living in a society as free as you thought. I have a friend of mine who was stopped from practicing simply because he shared the gospel with his patients. So I'm enjoying the freedom, in a sense, and it's always a privilege to serve God through preaching. Well, let's start. I think the subject matter here is evangelism, how to evangelize. And of course, that's why we're here. But evangelicals in particular, we're very clever. We have something like 30 methods of evangelism. And some of us can be quite dogmatic about how to evangelize. I mean, I don't know how many of you have seen people, street preachers preach hell and damnation. I don't know what you think of them. When I was at St. Andrews University, there was a retired Navy captain who was quite tall, powerful, your usual moustache. He spoke very clearly, and he preached hell and damnation. I think there's a place for that. The Bible certainly makes it clear that there's a place for that. And I used to go and stand with them just to show support. And I've seen people, street preachers, who are very gentle. So there are different methods of evangelism. This one is, if you like, it uses three methods. Philip uses three methods to evangelize the Ethiopian. There's the dialogic, question, answer, give people time to speak their mind. The didactic, teaching. He actually taught him what the chapter he was reading was about. Of course, there's the relationship-based. You need to get to know people and form a friendship with them. But let's not think this is the only way to evangelize. And I think one thing that comes through is Philip was listening to the Holy Spirit. And in our contact with people, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, bearing in mind that God is actually consistent. He doesn't say one thing in his word and then tell you another personally. And I'm always careful of Christians who say, God told me or the Holy Spirit told me. We need to be careful before we say that, because it's an awesome responsibility to claim that God has told me to do something when it's actually my own opinions or desires or prejudices. But there's a list of other methods that you may be comfortable with. And there are many more. So, we have before us a story with three characters. We have the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the searcher. We have the Holy Spirit, let's not forget that, who is the sage and the source of all wisdom. And we have Philip, the evangelist, the servant. We have the searcher, the sage, and the servant. So, who was Philip, starting with Philip? He's not to be confused with the apostle, one of the 12. Philip, the evangelist, was one of the 7 deacons elected, I think, in chapter 4 of Acts, to look after the mundane needs of widows and to settle the differences between the Hebrews and the Greeks, to ensure impartiality. We learn that after the persecution, he moved to Samaria, which is where he was in this story. And there's a reason why Samaria. I said impartiality. God is training Philip before he meets the Ethiopian to be impartial through having to deal with the Jews and the Greeks. So the gospel did not just come to the Jews. And Samaria, I don't know if any of you have been to the Holy Land. I used to visit Samaria fairly frequently with my father. The Samarians or Samaritans were considered by the Jews to be unclean. Don't touch them, don't mix with them. But God took Philip to Samaria to settle. He had to live amongst the unclean, and the Lord is teaching him impartiality. They're a hybrid of working class Jews who were left behind by the Assyrians who took the Jews into captivity. They only took the clever, the middle classes, the professional, the linguists, the businessmen, and people of high birth, and they left the poor people in Israel or Palestine. And furthermore, they actually brought in foreigners to live in the land. And so the Samarians, or the Samaritans, were a mixture of Jews and foreigners. So they weren't pure Jews. They were rejected by the Jews. Further, they didn't worship in Jerusalem. They didn't consider Jerusalem to be the holy city. They worshipped on Mount Gerizim in a place now called Nablus or Neapolis in the West Bank. And they only held as sacred the first five books of the Old Testament. So for Philip to live with people like that, he had to be fairly tolerant and patient. Now the Ethiopian, who was this Ethiopian? He was rich, he was powerful, he was well-connected, he was the treasurer of Candace, who actually Candace is a term like equivalent to the pharaohs of Egypt. So Candace was the queen of Ethiopia. He was educated, he could read Hebrew. He was probably a convert to Judaism, but remember, Bathsheba and Solomon, their relationship probably led to a lot of Ethiopians becoming Jewish. So he may have been born a Jew, we don't know that. He's just completed a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which is quite an achievement. But he was still not happy. He was still searching. He was searching for the truth. And he was reading, it is believed, from Isaiah 53. The Ethiopian church, believe his name was Simon, or Simeon, that's the same, the Hebrew is Shimon, and so is Simon in English. And some believe he is the same Simon mentioned in Acts chapter 11. So after his conversion, he may have had a much wider ministry than being the first missionary to Ethiopia. Remember, we had, I think last Sunday or the Sunday before, we'd heard about another Simon, Simon the sorcerer, in the same chapter. And I can't help noticing the difference between the two Simons. So we have Simon the sorcerer, who had heard the gospel, but he wanted power, and he ended in failure. We have Simon the Ethiopian, who had power, but he needed the gospel, and his story ends in success. Simon the Ethiopian becomes the first missionary to Ethiopia, and his ministry most likely went much wider. Simon the sorcerer, his legacy really is simony, a very derogatory term. Simony is when you try to buy your position in church. As he did, he tried to buy power. So if you're a searcher after God, there's a lesson. Who do you want to be like? Are you attracted by the exciting things in Christianity? And I had a friend at university who I evangelized for years, and he was always interested in the power, the healing. He wasn't interested in sin, in grace, in life eternal. It was always the amazing things that he heard some evangelists have done. And unfortunately, he ended up committing suicide. So if you're a searcher this morning, look for what matters. Back to evangelism. This story illustrates a few potential barriers to evangelism, which we need to learn to overcome. From Philip's point of view, he was dealing with a black man. And actually, the word Ethiopian in those days was quite derogatory. Jews are mostly not black. So when he saw the Ethiopian, he could have thought, oh gosh, how do I talk to this guy? He was a powerful person, the Ethiopian. So he would have had security. Philip would have had to imagine you're approaching Philip Hammond's car. Yeah? There's a lot of security to break through. And class, can you just approach such an important person? And how do you testify about Christ to someone who comes probably from a heathen culture? Of course, Philip didn't know. From the eunuch's point of view, he had a stranger approach him. He could have told him to, you know, get lost. From the eunuch's point of view, Philip was a commoner. The Ethiopian could have felt self-righteous. He could have said, you know what, I'm powerful, I'm religious, I am a pilgrim, I've just finished pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and most Jews who lived abroad could manage it once in a lifetime, if at all. But he didn't. So if you're a Christian today, you have one lesson to learn. If you are not a Christian yet, if you're searching, you have another lesson to learn, or a few. Of course, the title is Listening and Walking Alongside. So let's talk about listening. Listening is something that doctors are supposed to do, but we're often accused of not doing. And I've learned that when people say to you, you're not listening, it often means, yes, you're too pressured to listen. You know, you've got 10 minutes to solve three problems, so perhaps we don't listen. Sometimes it means you haven't given me what I want. You haven't complied with my request. But listening in general involves some effort on both sides. Here, in this story, we have an angel of the Lord talking to Philip, and Philip listening to the angel of the Lord. Sometimes it says in verse 29, the Lord spoke to him. And of course, there's listening to the Ethiopian. So as Christians who evangelize, we have to listen to the Lord first and foremost, and then to the people we're evangelizing. The inevitable medical joke, I'm afraid, thanks to Carol. There's an obstetrician who had just finished an awful delivery, which apparently took 9 hours. I'm sure it's not true. And at the end, he was stitching up, and his registrar said, really difficult, wasn't it? Yes, the obstetrician says. The registrar says, was it a boy or a girl? I don't know, he said. Do you know? No, I don't know, said the registrar. And the young anaesthetist jumped in, and she said, actually, pass the baby to me. I'm quite good at telling the difference between a boy and a girl. So obviously she was not listening in the full sense of the word. She misunderstood. They were too busy to notice the gender of the baby. But so listening needs to be an active process. I'm going to tell you another thing from experience. I had a lady patient who came to see me with symptoms suggestive of diabetes. So we did a blood test. We made an appointment for her to come and discuss her results. And I told her, unfortunately, the blood test shows you're a diabetic now. So we talked about diabetes. Your cholesterol is high. We need to reduce it. We talked about diet. And she was lovely. She said to me, doctor, thank you so much. It's all very interesting. But I've come to discuss my blood results. So, listening, that's not how to listen. We read in the scripture about people who are ever hearing, but never actually understanding. The point of listening is that we should understand what the other person is saying. Listening is really attentive hearing. It's not just technical hearing. As we said, you need to be focused when listening. And we see that in Philip. Philip was listening to the Holy Spirit, we said. The Holy Spirit said to him, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So I just want to show you on the map. I'm sure you spotted it. But if you're traveling to Gaza, this is the route to take because it's much easier and much safer, the coastal route. If you go this route, you're really putting yourself in jeopardy because it's hostile terrain and it's full of robbers. Even in my mother's days, my mother comes from the West Bank. She had to travel on the back of a donkey, and she described how dangerous that route was. So here is Philip, listening to the angel of the Lord give him an unusual request, a quite unreasonable request. He could have said, Lord, why this road? Why not the safer one? But evangelism involves taking risks. The Spirit told Philip to go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip could have said, you know, Lord, I need more. I need clarity. What am I to do? Can you imagine, as we said, standing next to the car, the ministerial car of Philip Hammond today, or the Prime Minister's car? The security would be on you straight away. Now, Philip listening to Simon the Ethiopian, we said listening has to be active, is more than just audiological reception. The Lord said to him, go to that chariot and stay near. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. He obeyed. He invited Philip, the Ethiopian invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip complied. The eunuch asked Philip in verse 34 some questions, and Philip answered. Philip began with that verse or that chapter, the passage that the Ethiopian was reading. I have a friend who I haven't met for many years. We haven't got together for many years. We just met recently at my daughter's wedding. When we were a student, he always had the knack of whatever the conversation topic was, he always had the knack of turning it to the Sermon on the Mount. It was his favorite topic, the Sermon on the Mount. It always ended up with the Sermon on the Mount. Well, Philip wasn't like this. He explained the passage that the Ethiopian was reading. He took him as he was. And when the eunuch asked to be baptized, he baptized him. He didn't say to the eunuch, let me baptize you. He waited for the eunuch to ask to be baptized. My father always wanted me to get baptized because, to all intents and purposes, I was a good boy. I went to church all the time. I even taught in Sunday school. I cleaned the church. I locked it, unlocked it, was in charge of the library or the bookshop. And I never swore. I never went to the cinema. I never, you know, I was righteous. But I always said to my father, I'm not ready. And when the Lord came into my life, then I was ready, and I said to him, now I want to get baptized. So let's not pressurize people, because they need to be sure in their hearts that they are following Jesus. In evangelism, I think we need to balance zeal with patience. You can't evangelize without having zeal. You have to have the zeal of the Lord to want you to share the gospel. But we need to temper it with patience. Now, we said Philip isn't one of the 12, but quite likely he had met Jesus and mixed with the followers of Jesus. Philip had probably just spent 3 years with Jesus, probably saw the resurrected Christ, spent 40 days learning the scriptures from him, and he either directly or indirectly had heard the Great Commission. But Philip didn't rush. He listened to the Holy Spirit guide him step by step. He wasn't impatient. And we could say that zeal empowers you to do things, but patience empowers you to do the right thing, the right way. Looking again at Philip's style, he took the Ethiopian, we said, as he found him. You got here a picture, the picture of a sphere. I used to sell crystal spheres as a student, and I've always found them absolutely beautiful. But I think the Word of God is like that sphere, in that no matter which facet you look at, it's actually pointing to the center. And if Jesus is at the center of the gospel, it doesn't matter where you start, it will always lead to Jesus. It should always lead to Jesus. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with what we're doing. So always start where people are, but make sure you get to talk about Jesus, and you achieve that by listening. There are echoes in this story of Paul in Athens. Paul went to Athens, and it says he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He observed, if you like, the equivalent of listening. I'm sure he heard conversations. He reasoned with people. When you reason with people, you actually listen and talk. You don't just talk. He debated with them in verse 18. He even went to the Areopagus to learn more about his audience. So I think it's important to try and learn about the subject or the people we're trying to evangelize. Old-style missionaries used to spend months in orientation. They used to learn about the people who go into it. They used to learn their language, their customs. And I think we could use that in our daily lives, try and find out more about people that we're trying to evangelize. Well, there's something profound in what this intelligent, powerful man said to Philip. How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? Really? He's educated, he's powerful. Why does he need someone to explain it to him? Because spiritual things are spiritually perceived, and intelligent people can be spiritually blind or foolish. We read in the scripture, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Because sometimes the wisdom of this world gets in the way of hearing the gospel or even understanding it. And Paul said to the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So Jesus, the light of the world, is the key to that enlightenment, without which there's no understanding. To summarize Philip's style, he listened to the Holy Spirit. He was not a racist. He took the initiative, as in the Great Commission, go, preach, baptize. Then he waited for an invitation from the Ethiopian. He was sensitive. He started where the Ethiopian was. He let the Ethiopian ask questions, which is what we're really doing in the Alpha course. He explained. He told him the good news about Jesus. It always has to end with Jesus, the center of that sphere. And he waited for the Ethiopian to request baptism. Now we come to the response. So I'm always aware that in any congregation there are people at different stages in the search for God. Some will be Christian, some are still searching. If you're like the Ethiopian, still searching, remember this. Only Jesus satisfies. The Ethiopian had everything any person could wish to have in terms of material goods and position, social position and power. But he was not satisfied. But we read at the end, he went rejoicing when he met Jesus. Remember, the gospel is for everyone, not just for religious people. For everyone. And one day we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give account of how we responded to the gospel. Remember what the Lord says, the word of God says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you want to meet with God, if you want to find him, you need to believe that he's there to start with and search with him earnestly. And he will send you a Philip or someone like Philip to meet with you and to introduce you to Jesus. If you're a Christian, remember one story, three characters, the Ethiopian, the searcher, the servant, Philip, or you and me, the Holy Spirit, the sage. How often do we seek wisdom outside the Word of God to win souls, and how often we fail? Let's remember the Word of God is powerful and the Holy Spirit should be at the center of our evangelism. Three lessons: temper your zeal with patience and listen attentively, both to the Holy Spirit and to your Ethiopian, the person you're evangelizing. Accept, and I say accept, doesn't mean you must agree. Accept people as they are and start where people are. Explain what the scripture say about Jesus. Thank you for listening. If you're not a believer and you wish to discuss anything further, come talk to me or to Dorothy at the end. If you're a believer and you want to discuss anything with me, I'm happy to talk to you at the end. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Emil. I'm just going to take a minute just to allow God to root in our hearts the thing that he wants us particularly to take away. So we'll just have a quiet moment. And I'd encourage you, if you are in that group of people who don't yet know Jesus, not to be afraid to ask the questions that you want to ask, even if they're quite difficult. And don't feel that you're going to get bashed on the head by somebody, the person that you ask, but just ask. It's truly worth it. And if you are a believer, I want you just for a minute to visualize the person that you most want to come to know Jesus. You just have that person in your mind, and we'll pray for those people. Father God, we bring these people to you, and you know the longing of our hearts that they would know you. Because life with you is so good. And we pray that you'll help us to talk to those people in a way that is gentle and sensitive. And most of all, a way that reflects you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship in song, so I'd like to invite the band to come up. And would you like to stand? We're going to...